20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. This trio is back together. It's Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman. You guys can decide who is whom in terms of those roles, but I'm your host, so figure it from there. Jacob Westendorf back with Jacob Morley and Ross Uglum of Pack Report. Morley, let's start with you, my friend. I got a package from you today, and I got to say, I was never more thrilled to get some mail. Do you want to tell the people why that happened?
I don't know what you're talking about. Play the fifth. Now, Jacob, hey, congratulations winning the Packers draft, the snake draft. Hit three, got three picks right. I mean, just tip of the cap, man. That's actually really impressive. That's tough to do. So nicely done. I would say you probably got those three because you've been hanging out with Ross and I so much. But it is what it is. Good job.
It didn't hurt. I'll tell you that. It did not hurt to have that happen. But I will give credit to Brian Gutekunst because last year, Morley, we did the same thing and we were both 0 for. We both went 0 for 10.
Yep.
And we had the same general premise, like, you know, pick the offensive lineman that plays left tackle but is going to move inside. Pick the wide receiver that hits certain this, certain that, whatever. But joining
Have
us
I gotten
now,
one yet? I don't think I've gotten
no,
one.
No, you're over the last 2 years. Congratulations.
Over, and which is hilarious because I said live on the radio who the Packers were going to pick before it happened. I said it's going to be. I just said I have a feeling it's going to be Quay Walker, and boom, it was. I had a moment of clarity. But anyways,
is that real?
That's real. That is real.
Is there proof?
Like it's on the radio, Ross. It's on the airwaves.
All right, so I'm gonna ask Sparky tomorrow if I can get tape of that, please. Yeah. So I will get on that tomorrow. You heard the other man's voice here. This is the happiest man in North Dakota State football and Green Bay Packers football. Ross, have you put pants on since the draft happened on day two?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big pants guy. I think everybody's real aware of that, but. No, I mean, you know, it was a big deal. Certainly happy for the kid, and that's kind of a big part of it for me, right? Is I mentioned to people at North Dakota State because you know I'm a big deal. I was a popular guy when Christian Watson got picked by the Packers. I got a bunch of people trying to get me to talk about. You know, Christian side of it on the North Dakota State side. And I got a bunch of people trying to ask me about the Packers side of it on the Packers side, you know, who got the better of this deal. And honestly, I mean, it's an unbelievable, I think, situation for Christian. I mentioned, you know, to some of the North Dakota State people that I talked to, I would have ranked, you know, maybe their situation number two in the entire NFL. And that's really just to, maybe Kansas City just because Pat's younger, but at the same time, like I said, to those folks, you know, Travis Kelce doesn't exist in Green Bay. I'm not even sure Juju Smith-Schuster exists in Green Bay. And so the opportunities are just endless for Watson. I mean, he can be as good as he wants to be as long as number 12 is still there throwing him the ball. So as happy as I was for the Packers because they got my number 20 overall player at 34, I was happier for Watson because it's just really difficult to imagine him being put in a better situation.
You know, another really underrated aspect of this is the fact that they traded with the Vikings, and people are going to, you know, moan and holler and whatever about what they gave up to go up and get him. But man, how sweet will it be for the next decade when Watson just torches the Vikings?
Oh, I mean, anytime. And that's the funny thing is so the Saturday show at Bison 1660 is this big giant Vikings fan. He's an NDSU student. NDSU gets a ton of people from the Twin Cities that don't want to be Gophers. And I mean that in athletics and certainly just in academics. They get kids from the city that want to go a reasonable distance from home. And North Dakota State is that. And this is a kid that you can tell in the way he broadcasts, and he's very good. I love Andy, but you can tell in the way he broadcasts, the way he talks, the way he tweets. He was born and bred on that power trip in the morning and Paul Allen from 9 to noon right after that. He's dyed in the wool. He has all the KFAN lingo that they teach there in Minnesota. And so he was really, really bummed about the fact that it was the Vikings. And he just knows that, you know, they're going to get it, and they're going to get it probably deservedly every time Watson scores against them, converts a first down, whatever. Especially if, you know, those guys that, that they drafted with the picks, you know, cause you can certainly, just say like it, you can break it down as simply as this is who the Packers got, Christian Watson, and this is who the Vikings got with those picks, unless they traded him, which honestly, the way Kwesi was going, they might have.
Yeah, that whole weekend was an oddball for the Vikings, and I still don't understand how they moved from 12 to 32 and only got what they got out of that. But I'm no expert on trade mechanics and everything like that. But we're not here to talk about Christian Watson and those sides of the draft and how everything went. We are you here sure? for. Well, I mean,
you did this you know, time. I had nothing to do with it.
I did, but you know what? I haven't been here for a couple weeks, so I didn't actually get your guys' reaction. I know we've talked, obviously, since, but I haven't gotten your guys' reactions to that entire situation and how it all unfolded. I will say it had to have taken something, because I was standing next to Brandon Snide, the social media manager for Packer Report, as they traded for Christian Watson. I've never seen that look on a grown man's face before in my life. He was incredibly excited.
He was maybe more up than I was, man.
He already ordered a sewn-on Packers throwback Christian Watson jersey. Like,
you know, good for
the
him.
Day of his wedding. Good That's incredible. Sick. Yeah, good for him. And it looks pretty nice. I've seen it. So there's that. That's the Watson deal. He's going to be Green Bay's fourth leading receiver this year, according to Ross Uglum. And he said that last week, and you can check that stuff out. Maybe that'll change, but that was an official, unofficial prediction. I guess we'll see how that goes. This is going to be really official in terms of predictions. We are talking about some undrafted free agents, and typically this isn't even me making things up. This is stuff that like agents used to tell players that went undrafted, is like, check out Green Bay, because in Green Bay, usually a guy that goes undrafted makes the roster. And there have been examples of that in the very recent past. You talk about, you know, guys like Darius Shepherd, who came in as an entire camp long shot, made the roster over a guy that was a fourth round pick in Jamon Moore. So, I mean, it's not quite the way that it used to be under Ted Thompson, where you could almost always pencil in one or two of them, but it certainly is something that Green Bay leaves no stone unturned, and they're not afraid to keep an undrafted guy over somebody that they've drafted. This year's class, based on the conversation we had prior to the show here, a little underwhelming. There's not that big sexy name that kind of pops out outside of, you know, Tyler Goodson is the popular one that is kind of popped out as an Iowa player. That could be because he played at Iowa. It could be because he played running back, and he's actually a pretty decent player. He's had some good moments against some teams that Packer fans that are mostly Badger fans as well, or at least there's a lot of crossover. They probably watch a lot of games that Tyler Goodson has played in. You know, they watch Iowa versus Nebraska, and God bless whoever does that by choice that is not a fan of those two programs, but people do those things for whatever reason. But that's kind of the one name. But what we're going to do is kind of go through the position battles here and be able to kind of get through and see, you know, where is a path if there is one. For example, an undrafted free agent is not making the roster at quarterback. You know, the Packers, and I'm not even going to get through this. I'm just going to go through this really quickly. Green Bay brings back the league MVP. They bring back a guy they drafted in the first round who they did not trade over draft weekend, whatever the reasons were on that. And Kurt Benkert was here last year. So unless some guy comes into camp and looks pretty much the same as Aaron Rodgers, he's not making a team. Well, let's go to running back here, because that's the first discussion. We'll just talk about Tyler Goodson here for just a little bit, because it's Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. But after that, Kylan Hill coming off an injury. And Patrick Taylor has had an injury-riddled short career during his time late in college and in the NFL. That was part of the reason I thought the Packers might even look to spend a draft pick on a running back. They didn't do that. Instead, they signed Tyler Goodson. So this is where somebody could theoretically make a roster run. Morley, what is your take here as we look at this running back position and a roster battle that could take place for that third running back spot, which is always a fun one?
Well, yeah, and we know that the Packers, they want horses in the stable too. They've kept three, and they've had a guy in the practice squad the last several years, or I think since Goody's been there. And you look at what they have, obviously, Jones is making the squad, Dillon's making the squad, and they're going to be big-time contributors to this offense. But then you're looking at that third running back, and, you know, where is Kylan at with his knee injury? Obviously, a super talented dude. And this might be a little bit of a take, but I think Patrick Taylor is the most talented of those three guys. If you go back and watch his tape at Memphis, I mean, he's a middle round type player, like type draft pick. And he's got the size too. He's got the hands out of the backfield. He can run some decent routes. Kylan Hill, I know for all of the fanfare with him drafted in the seventh round, because honestly, he should have gone higher than that as well. Those two guys in themselves are really good options. So I think Goodson is going to have to really, really put on a show his rookie camp to make this squad. But could, you know, and he might be a guy that's vying for that spot in the practice squad against whoever doesn't make it over Taylor and Hill. If they want to keep only three guys, maybe they keep four. I don't know. So that could be something interesting to watch. But, you know, kind of what you alluded to, Jacob, is like his tape is fun. Like he's a smaller type back. And for whatever reason, fans get excited about those kind of guys. You know, the guys that have the fun highlight tapes. And Goodson has a fun highlight tape. You watch, you turn it on, and he is a big play waiting to happen. He is an athletic guy out of the backfield as a receiver. And I think he'll be a fun guy to watch in the preseason. And, you know, if he's going to make this roster, it's 100% going to be, can you play special teams as well? How many things can you do? Can you be a receiver out of the backfield? Can you be a runner in between the tackles? That's usually who makes a team, is guys like that. But I'll kick it to Ross and just kind of see what his takes are on this running back position. And if he defers anywhere or has any discrepancies in what I just said.
No, I don't. You know, I've made it very clear. I love Tyler Goodson, man. I feel it's funny. I feel similarly about Tyler Goodson as I felt about Aaron Jones and as I felt about Kylan Hill. And I know it sounds insane to say Aaron Jones right now, but people like Aaron Jones is a fifth round pick. You know, I didn't catch on to Aaron Jones really until the preseason tape threw me back into the UTEP tape. And
that was kind of like, he was kind of like the third of those three guys for a little while. Cause remember that was the year they drafted Jamal Williams, Devontae Mays, Devontae and Jones. And Jones might've been the third guy out of that group for a while.
And
they had Ty Montgomery on
the incumbent starter was number 88. Absolutely. Yeah. It was.
Shout out to Andy Benoit.
Man, he's electric and he's an elite athlete. And that's where I'm at with backs. Like I wouldn't have paid Aaron Jones, but maybe, I mean, that makes me, you know, I know into the minority, but Tyler Goodson, man, I would pair him or Kylan Hill with AJ Dillon and just go with God. And I mean that. I think he's going to get you everything that's blocked and more. The fun thing about Tyler too is his spin move. It is absolutely electrifying. It is so much fun. He's a good pass receiver too. I like him. I like him quite a bit, man. I really do.
What they call the spin move with Fat Eddie? The circle button.
Circle button, man. And Fat Eddie, right. Fat Eddie Lacy, man. PHAT, by the way. PHAT for Eddie. That's just to.
I mean that. And let me. I mean that in the most endearing way possible. Like I freaking loved Eddie Lacy in Green Bay. His first two seasons were absolutely electric for the Packers.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun. Man.
Another round.
Yeah, and kind of gave the Packers something that they didn't have for quite some time. And pour one out for Jonathan Franklin since Ross is here. Mm. The Tyler Goodson, just to get your guys' point here, your spin move point is taken because I know I made a joke over the weekend. I asked, he had one against Nebraska, and I asked if there were any highlights against non-Division III opponents, which the people from Nebraska didn't find that nearly as funny as I did. But the point of the matter is, he can do a lot of different things. And can you do enough things well enough? Kind of like what Morley was talking about. Can he play special teams? Can he maybe return kickoffs in a pinch the way like Malik Taylor theoretically could, or at least according to the coaching staff, they thought that he could. Can he do some stuff like that? Can he fair catch a punt? Now that's some stuff that it doesn't sound like a big deal, but when you're an undrafted free agent like this, you're trying to create value for yourself. And that's one way to do it, is just to be able to do things like that. Can he make a tackle on special teams and do some stuff like that too? It doesn't have to be just stuff with the ball in his hands. This special teams unit was the worst one in the NFL. I'm not telling you guys anything that you don't know, but I'm saying that now to say like some of the guys that Green Bay kept in past years to say like, oh, he has good special teams value. They'll keep him. Malik Taylor is the example I've used very often. It's like, oh, he's a good special teams player. He's on the team for special teams. Well, yeah, but he's also a a special teams player on the worst special teams in football. Maybe Bisaccia thinks he stinks. This could be a big overhaul at some of those positions. And that's just something to keep in mind as we get into training camp, preseason games, stuff like that, is some of these guys that you found in previous years. I know like Oren Burks isn't on the team anymore, but that would be another guy that I have as like an example. Is that a core special teams player anymore? Because they can't do the same things they've done the last 3 years, and they have a different coordinator now looking at things, and one with a little bit more experience. We can,
and that's a balance though, Jake. I mean, that's a balance. Oh, yeah. You know, if you believe that the new coach can, I mean, that's the whole point, right? That largely, and I don't know how fair that is because Goody was so aggressive when LaFleur got here, but largely, you know, LaFleur did better with McCarthy's players, right? And that's again, I think debatable, but your hope obviously is that Joe Barry does better with Mike Pettine's players and Rich Bisaccia does better with the prior. I mean, I don't know which coach you want to name, whose fault it was. Special teams coordinator, man. Mo Drayton, the gentleman before him who has so scarred me, I've forgotten his name. That's part of hiring a new coordinator is I can do better with the same tools you had.
Yeah, and there will definitely be some of that as well. Looking into some of the other positions on this team, it's not likely that he makes the roster. I think we talked about this, I think, before, is he would have to return a punt for a touchdown like Desmond Howard did or something like that. But Danny Davis did play at Wisconsin. He's going to immediately be a fan favorite to make a run at the roster. The hard part right now, and like Green Bay is still a team that I don't know how likely this is, but there's still a team that's mentioned in like the potential veteran receiver market, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, et cetera, guys like that. But you start looking at this roster, and let's just say they only keep six. Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Christian Watson, Romeo Dubs, Amari Rodgers. That's five already, and I'm missing somebody off the top of my head too. So, and I can't even
Sammy?
Sammy Watkins, that's the other one. So there's six guys right there. That's your six if they're only keeping six guys. I can't imagine any changing of that. If they keep seven, which they very well could, now you're getting into Malik Taylor, Juwan Winfrey, Samari Toure. Making a run at that roster.
I think UDFA guys are, in my opinion, the UDFA guys are practice squad fodder, unless something just insane happens.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point I was getting at, is Danny Davis, just the Wisconsin kid, would have to return a punt for a touchdown or maybe a couple, like, and just be like, okay, that's my job. I know you drafted Romeo Dubs theoretically to do that, but that's going to be my job, and I'll take it.
Yeah, he'll have to be a special teams demon and just absolutely whatever he's doing, just be great at it, because he is not the type of guy that I think is going to make this roster. I also think it's absolutely bonkers to think the Packers are only going to keep six when two of them are Randall Cobb and Sammy Watkins. Like, if both of those guys play the entire year, 17 games, I will be flabbergasted. But that's neither here nor there. And I think it's going to be a fun battle. But Danny Davis has got a very uphill climb to make this squad. And he could be a practice squad guy. But the receiver position, it seems like draft picks and the, you know, the holdovers from last year pretty much have those spots locked down. It's just going to be sorting out who is going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then offensive line, too, is probably the next position on offense. I mean, the as far as who they brought in, the guy that's getting all the pub, right, is the massive dude from Indiana, Caleb Jones. Like, and he is massive. But do you guys see – I mean, Jacob, I'll kick it back to you. Do you see anyone that you think could make this wrong? I mean, just from knowing what you know now with the young guys that they have at offensive line – in the draft picks they've invested the last couple of years, is it feasible to see an offensive line? Because that's a spot that they typically have kept UDFAs, but is there a spot?
Yeah, but then you start talking about holdovers and like Elton's going to be either on the roster or on the pup. And either way, you're kind of thinking of a spot for him ahead of time. And then you start talking about holdovers from last year where you've got, you know, Bakhtiari, John Runyon, Josh Myers, Royce Newman and Yosh Nyman. Those are guys from last year. And that theoretically could be your starting unit from left to right. I don't think it will be for the record, but it could be. They draft Sean Ryan and Zach Tom with high picks. Those guys aren't getting cut. So that's seven right there. Jake Hansen, they kept last year. Cole Van Lannen, they protected and then brought up from the practice squad. They drafted Rashid Walker in the seventh round. That's a guy some people thought could have gone in the fourth round. I think I've already mentioned nine guys, and that's not including Elgton Jenkins. They've kept between 9 or 10 the last couple of years. It's not impossible.
Did you mention Yash? I did.
Yeah, that was a potential starter at right tackle. But you start talking about some of the guys, like you talk about this massive dude. A guy like that probably has so much to clean up from a technical standpoint. Like a guy that big, if he didn't go draft, he didn't get drafted at all. That tells me from a technical standpoint, he doesn't have much in the tank, or he's a terrible athlete, one of the two. And admittedly, I don't know a ton about him, but those are just some logical conclusions to draw there. They could keep an undrafted guy, but it just seems like that would require just a piss poor camp from guys, or an unfortunate injury, something like that. But guys like Jake Hansen and Cole Van Lannen and guys that were already here a year ago, you know, you're thinking those undrafted free agents. Yeah, an undrafted free agent at this point, you're, again, it's kind of like the receiver spot. You're looking at practice squad fodder. Ross, anything to add?
No, no. I think O-line, man, that's going to be just a phenomenal battle. I'm so, like, I was talking to somebody else about just how fun, I think I even tweeted it, degenerates bet on the Packers in the preseason, man, because if you think Jordan Love is at all functional, you know, you could have a second line of him running out there with like Christian Watson, Amari Rodgers, and Romeo Dubs handing off to Kylan Hill behind a line that has like actual dogs on it. You know, Nijman, Tom, Ryan, and then guys with real actual experience in the NFL. You know, Royce could be playing something as far as maybe a battle right guard, right tackle. They're going to have a extremely legit second unit on the offensive line, and it's hard to project even who makes the team. And it's certainly difficult to project who makes the team if Elgton Jenkins can make a more functional return to the lineup than David Bakhtiari did. And by the way, I mean that as absolutely less than zero disrespect to David Bakhtiari. All ACL injuries are different. All recoveries are different. But we've seen like the 6.5 month recovery of Adrian Peterson. There's a range of ACL recoveries that is between like 7 months and 13 months. And we have no idea what Elton's will be. We have no idea what Tunyon's will be. We just don't know. So projecting the O-line spot with Elton, that's crazy when you start to just think of like nine guys to narrow it down to.
I think with the offensive line room, that if you're going to bet on what positional group will have the most people picked up by other teams, I think that for the Packers will be the one, because there's such a shortage of big men that can play offensive line in this league.
And I think their reputation is sterling for a reason.
Yeah,
they just have, I mean, they have dudes that can play. And typically, like, the only ones that you could think of guys that were just like flameouts were dudes when they kind of went outside of what they normally do, right? Like Simon Stepaniak is an example of somebody like that. Jake Hansen, I think, will be an example of somebody like that, as they took him as a center and they say he could play guard. I'm skeptical. Let's just say that. But who am I to say I know more than Brian Gutekunst or Adam Sandwich? Let's go to the other side of the ball. We didn't mention tight end. They didn't really bring in any that were worth talking about. I got a hard time seeing that.
Kind of wild, honestly.
I can't believe they didn't. I can't believe they didn't draft one. They haven't signed one. They didn't trade for one. They did nothing at a position that, me personally, and I felt this way when Robert Tunyon,
like Tyler Davis, and honestly, Goody straight up just said it.
Yeah, and that's got to be the only way, because I know I said it when Robert Tunyon's breakout season hadn't happened yet. I was like, man, this is a tight end room that had a third round top 75 pick, Jay Sternberger. I was just like, there's just not a whole lot there. And now this year, I just kind of feel that way again. Tunyon coming off an ACL, Mercedes Lewis is Mercedes Lewis, which is a good thing. But like, as far as the passing game goes, not much.
So Tyler Davis has a Raz in the super high sevens.
Yeah, he's a good athlete.
Basically just had a, like, not a great broad jump that brought his entire score way down. And the reason I say that's odd is just because, like, Rich Rod he's a top 2% athlete on the entire planet, but Rich Rod was a trash athlete. Jay Sternberger was a very mediocre athlete. They have not always taken freak shows at tight end spot. That's why. And look, man, like, they very much could have been locked in on Jelani Woods, and it just didn't happen. But that's why all the everybody Jelani Woods, Jelani Woods, Jelani Woods, and I'm thinking they don't actually freak out about RAS at tight end. No. But Tyler Davis is a good athlete. That 4.74
You know who is a actual freak athlete? RAS guy that's on their roster is Elise Mack out of Notre Dame a couple years ago. He's floated. He's kicked around the NFL a little bit. He's an 8.5 RAS type guy. I really liked him coming out of Notre Dame. He's someone that no one's also mentioned that will, I mean, on this team, he'll have a shot. He'll have a shot to make the squad.
And it's funny how tight end kind of works that way. You know, I think some of the elite guys work out, obviously. But oftentimes, you know, like George Kittle was not a first or a second round pick. And that happens relatively often. Antonio Gates obviously was a late pick. Jimmy Graham was a late pick. It does happen where kind of the nobodies stick out at tight end. And obviously the TJ Hawkinsons and the Vernon Davises sometimes work out as well, but sometimes they don't.
Yeah, they do. And then, you know, the Packers, they just, it's been a position that's almost like a black hole for lack of a better phrase. Now that could change. You know, Tyler Davis has some nice stuff on his tape. The play against Baltimore last year where Rodgers zung him one over the middle of the field. That was certainly one. Also has some not so great things on his tape. He dropped maybe the best throw of Jordan Love's career against the Detroit Lions. It would have been a touchdown and it would have been really cool, but it didn't happen. Of course, I mean, I can't say that without mentioning guys like they clearly really like Josiah DeGuara, which is fine. And Dominique Daphne is somebody they've kept around for a while as well. And Elise Mack.
And they know way more about Bobby Funyan's knee than we do. I mean, there's no question about that.
Yeah. And that's the thing is if Tonyan is like 70% of what he was in 2020, then the Packers tight end position is fine, you know, and fine is just fine. Like it's not elite. It's not anything special, but it'll be just enough. It's fine.
And let's go to defense. Dude, I was going to say real quick on Tonyan is that's something that no one's really talked to. People have just kind of written him off. It's like, he signed this 1 year deal and he'll be gone. What if he's good again? What if he's good again?
Well, and once we start talking about, I remember last year, Matt LaFleur was talking about drawing more stuff to feature him in the offense more. And that was a big, red flashing light for me to say, pay attention to this. It didn't work out that way throughout his short season last year. But I think when we start talking about the offense as we get closer to July, you're going to talk about Ross called Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb like security blankets, safety blankets, whatever phrase you want to use.
Honestly, and I've said this before, you can also kind of view Lazard as a person in the tight end room.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? The play that Tonyan got hurt on against Arizona, go back and watch. It was sick. I mean, you saw everything on display in that. It was a really great throw. It was kind of a hole shot. And then you saw the jets, and the speed and the athleticism. And then you saw his
knee give out where he just grabbed it. Yeah. I'm not trying to laugh and make light of it, but it was just like one of those, shit, he's hurt.
Yeah. You knew right away that it was bad. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball, Jacob.
Yeah, we'll go there. The defensive line, I don't think we need to talk about that because it's like the only real mystery there, I guess, is Jonathan Ford. Maybe some people think that Dean Lowry is a possibility, but
how many do you think they're keeping? Six?
You're thinking what? So Devontae Wyatt, Kenny Clark, Jerron Reed, Dean Lowry, there's four, and TJ Slayton, that's five. Then you have like Jonathan Ford, Wellington Pavilion, like holdovers. It could be five or six. It just kind of depends on what.
Trash can Jack full Heflin, of dirt.
Trash can full of dirt. That's possible. They could have a bunch of stuff that way. My take on it, and I guess I said I wasn't going to entertain it, but my take is keep Dean Lowry and keep those five dudes. Like, I think they're going to play defense different than they have the last couple of years, and having five guys that you feel good about rotating in instead of just – I'm kind of tired of the notion that, we just throw that dude out there and he'll just be fine. It's like, well, why be fine, though, if you have a guy who's actually good? You've already budgeted for him like you have Dean Lowry. You have him. You have Jerron Reed. And knock on wood, I'm not wishing injury, and the defensive line would fundamentally change if this happened. But if Kenny Clark has to miss some time, it's not this just, again, black hole, to use that phrase like it has been on the roster recent years. Keep them dudes and rotate them through and keep a sixth guy, and he ends up being a healthy scratch on game day, whether that's Jonathan Ford or Heflin or whoever, so be it.
Well, here's an interesting look at this. So the two guys that they brought in, they only brought in two. It's Akil Byers from Missouri and, I'm going to butcher this dude's name. It's Hawatu Patutua from Utah. Both of those guys are 6'3", a little bit over 300 pounds. And from the little bit I've watched of both of them, they're both penetrators. Like, they're both kind of quick first step type guys. So you look at, they were not joking when they said, that's what we want. And so they went and got one in Devontae White. And then the two guys that they brought in as UDFAs are, you know, very discounted versions of that. But I mean,
this is not the episode, but he's so good.
I've warmed up to him since watching more of him.
When he just grabbed and shucked SEC offensive lineman play after play?
Devontae?
I do like, yeah.
God, why is a stud? The player is not the issue. The player is not the problem. Like, I even said it after the pick was, he was a little bit older, and which I don't care about that as much. It matters, but I don't care about it as much. And then you get this stuff in the past, and the Packers have gone through that, and you hope they're comfortable with it. But the player is not the – why it's a stud. And as a team that needed to replace Kingsley Keke, and not necessarily him – well, him the player, yes, but him the skill set as well. That's something they didn't have in the room. And now they do, and why it's a big part of that. Let's go to the edge room, and then we'll go to the secondary because, again, off-ball linebacker, that's one that I don't think we need to talk a whole heck of a lot about. But edge – your top three guys are going to most likely be Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, and then Ross's guy, Kingsley Ingabari from South Carolina, their fifth round pick this year. A guy that, Ross, you would have taken him in the second, third?
Player overall, 54.
So, yeah, Green Bay, if they had taken him at the original second round pick, that would have hit almost perfectly that way. So.
And it's fun. I mean, you know, people get, well, there's a reason he fell to the fifth, and yeah, that's fine, but. That doesn't mean he's not my overall player 54. Like that's the game, man. If you're going to publicize rankings before the draft, you can't go, oh man, I also can't pretend I didn't have Quay Walker like 88th. I can't pretend that.
Right. That's written. It's in stone. That's the whole point of it. Right.
That's like, the game.
What's the point of, you can acknowledge that maybe Gutekunst and company know better than what we do, but there's also no point in watching players, forming opinions, and writing them down. If at the end I'm just going to say, oh, well, you know what? They took it. I like him. Or something like that. You can look at their process and understand what you're doing. But those are the three guys. After that, Jonathan Garvin, Tipa Nalea,
Randy Ramsey is another name. Unprompted name that Goody brought up as a guy that really
And good
liked.
For Gutekunst that way, and I understand it, and it's a skill set they don't really have in the room. I'm just – pumping the brakes a little bit standpoint of he missed all of last year. So this is a position that an undrafted guy could make a run at, I think.
Or go sign Melvin Gordon.
And hey,
you know,
Melvin Gordon plays running back, but you meant Melvin.
Go sign, go sign Melvin Ingram too. Why not?
Yeah.
Sign them both.
Yeah.
Maybe Melvin Gordon can play linebacker.
Melvin Gordon. Dude, stop it.
Melvin Ingram. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Ingram's under contract. For the name wrong. That's not a big deal here. You said the name wrong. Melvin, this is a position to me. We talked about this way back when we first started. This was a position I thought Green Bay could have targeted highly in the draft. They had a chance at Jermaine Johnson and George Karlaftis. They passed on both of them. So clearly, while they really liked Quay Walker, we know that. But clearly they liked him more than those two guys. Not just that. But they could have added a veteran to this position. They were rumored to be interested in Von Miller, which that was like never, ever, ever going to happen. Uchenna Nwosu, which was a little more sensible. I thought they could have done that, but they didn't. This is a position where I think Green Bay, if they're going to make one more veteran addition between now and training camp, your Devondre Campbell type addition, if you will, I think it's at edge and you're looking that way. And I say that also knowing now that kind of leads to, could an undrafted free agent make a run at that roster spot as well? So let's secondary here.
Melvin Ingram, holler at your boy.
Oh, go ahead.
Trey Flowers, holler at your boy.
Well, yeah, here's my question. What UDFA is going to make the roster edge? Because they didn't sign one.
No, they signed one today out of their rookie trial. Kobe Davis.
Kobe!
Oh, yeah. But, it doesn't have to be just of the class that they have. It could be another trial. Like, Chauncey Rivers made the roster last year. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, there are examples of stuff like that. So it could be just a place where they could have somebody
JPP
that makes
holler at your boy.
Chauncey Rivers actually played. Is Chauncey Rivers still in the roster? They give him a settlement. Is he gone? Because he he was kind of nice. Like, he did some nice things.
I would have to look to be 100%
sure. You guys talk about stuff. I'll look that up.
Pernell McPhee, holler at your boy.
There's so many guys. Like, there's so many guys. And I could almost advocate for Jason Pierre-Paul just from the standpoint of, if you talk about the way this team is, and this team is all in to win a Super Bowl, there are two players on this roster that have three players on this roster that have played in the Super Bowl, and one of them is a kicker. So Sammy Watkins and Aaron Rodgers, for those that want to know the answer to that trivia question later on down the road. Could they use a guy with that kind of experience and pedigree that can also help the team? Maybe, possibly. So Ross has made the comments. Holler at your boys. So bring one of those guys in, Goody, whatever you're doing. Let's go to the secondary, because this is the position where I think it's the most open, because Andy Herman talked about this right after the draft ended, I believe, where
before you move on to that, I do need to bring up, because you skipped over a premium position in Green Bay just now, inside linebacker. We can't just ignore inside linebacker anymore.
I'm ignoring it because they have two first-round picks. They have Chris Barnes.
Premium position.
A first-round pick for the first time since A.J. Hawk and paid Devondre Campbell $50 million. We can ignore
it. And they have Chris Barnes, and they have a group of, like, Ty Summers, Isaiah McDuffie. Like, where the hell is the undrafted free agent?
Because $50 million.
Okay, I'm going to tell you where it's coming from, because one of my favorite guys from this class is Chauncey Bannock out of Louisiana. And I'll tell you, they spent a bajillion dollars on Campbell. They just burned a first-round pick on Quay Walker. Chauncey Bannock is built in a similar fashion to those guys. He is a long, lanky athlete, can play some inside, maybe some outside as well.
Kid was an edge.
He played off ball at Louisiana. He was recruited as a four-star. He was a four-star recruit as a weak side defensive end. Went to Georgia, actually. Transferred out of Georgia, ended up at Louisiana, played for the Raging Cajuns. And so he has some pedigree as far as just raw ability. He has some talent. So as far as, like, you know, a guy making the roster over Ty Summers, maybe. Could happen if he can come and play teams better than Ty Summers and maybe give them some actual juice on the field in actual football packages. I think I could see him making this roster. As far as, like, when we're talking about paths to this team, paths to making this roster, I think inside linebacker, there is a spot at that depth position because it's a spot where they could keep four or five guys if they love somebody on teams. So I don't think, you know, I don't think it's not a spot. I mean, Oren Burks is gone. Who's taking his role? Way probably, but still, you get my point. So I just think, as far as, like, pedigree goes, like, he's a guy that has the pedigree, that has the talent, that is worthy of kind of that late round swing. And he's got those long arms, he's got the length, like I said. So he kind of fits the mold of what they've been looking for. And for God's sake, we talk about them burning a first round pick and this being a premium position. 2 years ago, their opening day starter was Chris Barnes, who was a UDFA in that class. So talk about how far they've come in 2 years, or the philosophical
I'll go
change.
One further. I will go one further with that, Mr. Morley. Ty Summers was getting snaps in the NFC title game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Gross.
Like, that actually happened in a game. I feel pretty good about saying that's not going to happen. Let's go to the secondary, because we're running short on time. This is where guys have made runs at a roster, and sometimes it's worked out really well. Sam Shields, Tremont Williams, Sam Shields, Super Bowl champion, by the way, and maybe – oddly enough, of all the things that happened that Super Bowl season, Sam Shields making the roster and being actually good might have been one of the single biggest, if not the single biggest reason that team won a title that year, which is just incredible to think about, because he may not have even made the roster in a different year. Who the hell knows? But that was the case there. This is a spot, corner and safety. I'm going to bring both kind of together, because those are positions where we thought the Packers were going to spend a pick on a safety. They really didn't. You know, you added the safety that they did draft was Tariq Carpenter, and he's going to play linebacker. Matt LaFleur basically said that. So they didn't really add one.
He's not going to play anything.
He played teams.
He's going to play teams.
He's going to play special teams. All right. Well, when you talk about breaking down the roster, that's where he's going to end up. But
sure. Yeah.
So they didn't add one. They didn't add anybody at corner either, so I think everybody can chill on the, oh, if they draft a corner, are they going to trade Jaire Alexander too? Which is always stupid, and I will continue to say that's stupid until
Tariq Carpenter is going to play L3.
Okay.
That's a special teams term.
It's the third guy in from the left on the
Yes, I
it means let me break down L3. L3 is a special teams term. Scientifically speaking, it would be
an alley defender.
It would be run fast, hit ball. Run fast, hit ball. That's L3. Things that Tariq Carpenter can do.
not a wedge buster, although those are illegal.
Yeah, got a skill set for that.
Yeah.
So on this side of the roster, guys, is there anybody that can make it? Because the back end of the cornerback room is yikes. And the back end of the safety room, actually, honestly, anything past safety two is yikes. So yeah. Is a place for somebody to make a run, Mr. Uglum?
Absolutely. You know, and I think while I keep telling edges to holler at your boy, I think anybody.
Is this the Trey Boston thing?
A little. Yeah. Shout out to Trey Boston.
He's still there.
But, you know, anybody with some versatility, some ability, maybe like a slot slash, and I have numbers on the top, or excuse me, names at the top of my head like I did edge rushers, because I was looking at that the other day. But you know, if you can play nickel and free safety, I think, you know, a veteran guy like a Desmond King probably isn't available, but just like that player archetype, a Micah Hyde, that player archetype, like, yeah, we'd all take a first team NFL free safety dip S. But yeah, I what I just mean is some veteran could really provide Green Bay with something, I think. I think Keyshawn Nixon's probably gonna make the team. Obviously Stokes is gonna make the team, Rasul is gonna make the team, Jaws is gonna make the team, and SJC is probably gonna make the team. So maybe that cornerback room is a little bit more full than we think, but that safety room, man, especially after they non-tendered Henry Black, which I am totally fine with. If you're ready to make peace with the Vernon Scott era, then that both those backup spots are just wide open. You know, I think, you know, Rasul mentioned he would be willing to play some safety, which would be cool if he could be cross-trained in there. I think him with his skill set providing some depth for Savage, or maybe even providing Savage to do some cool inverted looks where Savage is playing slot and maybe Rasul is playing safety and the quarterback can't identify that, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, secondary is absolutely where one of these kids has a chance to make some sort of a dent, whether it's the Sterling kid out of Oklahoma State or whether it's the the Baylor kid, the Baylor corner. I think that's certainly where truly the opportunity lies.
I like the Texada kid. I think he's got a shot. He is a high RAS kid. I think he's upper. He's 8.21. Got it right in front of me. 8.21, 4.43, fast. Didn't run a great 3-cone. Good shuttle. Good jump. 37-inch vertical. He's only 5'10", like 190, so he's smaller. But when you turn on the tape and you watch Jalen Petrie, which a lot of us did, he's number 13, and he yeah. flashes. Like a lot of these guys that you watch, like we talked about, like Ellis Brooks in the pre-show, where we're like, hey, Ross, when you watched Brandon Smith from Penn State, did Ellis Brooks jump out at you? And it was like, no, not really. But this Raleigh Texada kid from Baylor, like he actually has some looks where he's playing in the slot, and he played inside outside for Baylor. He's going to kick inside for the Packers, but he is a guy. He's a scrappy player. A lot of those Baylor defensive backs play that way. That's just kind of their brand of football, and he's kind of the same. I think he's going to have a shot to make this team. And I mean, for God's sake, like, if somebody gets hurt in that secondary, heaven forbid, there's going to be someone playing that we maybe don't want to be playing out there for as deep as they are at the top, at that cornerback position. It gets thin fast.
Yeah, and allegedly.
That happened last year too, right? Sorry, like, if you think about it, yeah, that happened last year too. If you think about it, like, before, when Rasul Douglas entered our lives and became the Lord and Savior of our defense, like, Isaac Yiadom was starting in that game against Chicago. And Justin Fields, who is a current Hall of Famer, but also not very good last year, basically was just like, okay, there's 24 and I'm throwing at him. Took one drive for him to get benched for Rasul Douglas. But like, I think against Cincinnati, I would have to go back and look to be sure. But like, Eric Stokes played, but then it was Kevin King and Isaac Yiadom. Like, it didn't take much for dudes like that to end up on the field. So, I mean, this is a position where even if it's not on the initial roster, I think you're going to see a lot of that overturn, maybe find – who was the other cornerback that they signed to the – Quentin Dunbar. They signed him to the practice squad and cut him like 2 days later. Yeah. Something like that could certainly happen as well for this roster in the upcoming year. And that's the thing about the bottom of the roster is Ted Thompson talked about it a bunch, and Brian Gutekunst talks about it now. It's just a constant churn.
It is, and I think you can be more optimistic with it not being, you know, like some guy from Valdosta State in that they're going to throw out on Julio Jones in a playoff game. Shout out Ladarius Gunter. I didn't mean to disrespect you in that way. Shout out Miami. I didn't mean to disrespect your football program in that way. But what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is, like, you could get Rasul Douglas now with from Goody. You can get guys that can play. You can get Devondre Campbell super late in camp. You can have that sweet, sweet Whitney Mercilus signing. May his elbow or may his bicep rest in peace. You're not gonna get, you know, Johnny Johnson from Upper West Oregon. It's just like that, and Ted did things in an amazing way and set them up to compete for years. But if you're thinking that the Packers probably need some veteran depth at a spot, there's actually a chance that Goody's feeling the same way, which you just didn't always get that feeling with Ted.
No, you didn't. And that's like if you have a criticism of Ted Thompson, that was certainly it. I talked about it like last year or 2 years ago, when Rick Wagner was the swing tackle. I said, I love Ted to death, but I promise you the swing tackle was going to be Yosh Nijman in that particular season after they let everybody go. So we're out of time. Long snapper, that's another position I'll throw in there as a UDFA, could certainly make the roster. Yeah. That is it. That is all. That's all the analysis I'm going to give you on special teams and not special teams, but long snappers specifically. Out of time for today, though. Check us out. You can follow me on Twitter at Jacob Westorf. You can find my work, Game On Wisconsin and Packer Report. You can find Ross, the publisher of Packer Report, at Ross Uglum. Check him out pretty much anytime during the week. And also some stuff for Bison Report. It's almost getting there for football season. Kind of, sort of, not really. Maybe we can hope. You can find Jacob Morley at Jacob Morley. And he's a celebrity now, so you might find him on 620 WTMJ and various other outlets that let him come talk and do some things that celebrities do. So thank you guys for having that. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the rest of the Bucks series as we record tonight. The Celtics win, so it's tied 2-2. By the time we talk to you guys next, that series will have reached its conclusion, so maybe it'll be the conference finals. If not, until next time, go Mavs. Go Pack. See you guys next time.